And speaking of great radio, we ran into a couple L.A. radio legends, Kevin and Bean from K-Rock.
I don't know who you mean.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Okay, where do you see yourself in the future?
Future, okay. So for real, I give this actually like a lot of thought. It's like there's no government, there's no laws. I'm the head of like this roving murder gang kind of thing. But my best friend is a robot.
Think about it. Why? People don't ask that question. But why was there the Civil War? Why could that one not have been worked out?
Mike Shinoda, thank you so much for coming in, my brother. We'll talk to you soon.
How about we say it at the same time?
One, two.
Will you poop on me?
And now.
If you enjoy this f***ing job, you're not doing it properly.
Our feature presentation.
Amen, Michael Caine, and welcome into yet another all-new Kevin and Bean show. This time, it's for Tuesday, the 12th of February. What's up, kids?
What's up, Bean?
Hi.
Heard a bunch of radio commercials this morning on KNX for the upcoming Valentine's Day.
Oh, buy flowers. Oh, it's time to get jewelry. Oh, delicious chocolates.
Was that the commercial? Still, creepy man.
Still pretty mad, huh?
Multiple commercials. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, if you type in Valentine's Day is to your Google search, not only will a lie come up, but so will a corporate scam. I'm telling you, you guys are all being rooked.
Well, the people who use the internet are clearly people who have significant others, so that makes sense.
I'm just telling you, you're all being taken for a ride.
I bought my gift yesterday.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
What is it?
Can't tell you because then it'll be on the airwaves and someone will tell her and then it's a ruined surprise.
Well, we don't know who it's for.
Could be for your girlfriend.
That's true.
We don't know. So you're buying into it, man. You're just blindly marching behind whoever says come this way.
Technically not blindly, but yes, I have 100%. I buy into Valentine's Day.
You buy into Valentine's Day.
I think
Day.
It is a nice way to show the person you love that you care.
Absolutely.
I would have liked to have thought that the younger generation, and I graciously include you in
Thank
that.
You.
Would
my
would
gray
have,
facial hair, thanks you.
would have been smarter, would have been able to throw off the shackles.
No, I
of
feel
my generation's Valentine's Day myth.
No, it's a nice. It's not. There's not. I don't think we're doing anything too crazy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's just a day to celebrate.
Bean, I know you probably don't remember, but ask Donna if your first year as a married couple, if you bought something for Valentine's Day. I guarantee you did. I think you got cynical over time.
It's very possible. Because I've also turned on Groundhog Day, too, and I used to love Groundhog Day.
Oh, you
well,
bought gifts
everyone,
for that too, yeah.
Everyone hates that.
Always bought gifts for Groundhog
are
Day.
Are you not buying a gift for her?
No. Because it's February 14th on the calendar? No.
Okay.
Certainly not.
But what about, like, do you feel that way about other holidays, like a Christmas or a...
Nope. I'm totally fine to buy Christmas presents and birthday presents.
But that's because you were told.
Because they're mutual. That's why.
Oh, because they get... But I mean,
because gifts go both ways.
My wife's.
That's why.
Sorry.
It's magnanimous.
My wife is going to get me a Valentine's Day gift.
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
Is that where this stems from? That you didn't get a gift back, so now you hate it?
No, it's not just that I didn't get a gift back.
Oh,
it's
my God. Going.
It's that it pretends to be a couple's holiday, and it's not.
This sounds specific and
very
individual.
Very specific.
Well, I don't have any memory of anything happening like that. But that is part A. And part B is that it's just a date on the calendar and you're not doing it right if it's a once-a-year expression of how you feel about
if,
your partner.
If Valentine's Day truly is the only day that your loved one expresses that they love you, you're in a horrible relationship.
That's what
this
I'm
is
saying.
Just, well, no, that but, is not what happens on Valentine's
they're not
Day.
But they're not exclusive. You can't. You don't have to only celebrate on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Like you can do both. You can celebrate every day and also have a Valentine's Day.
Absolutely. But you make it seem like people don't even say I love you or say, hey, thank you so much. I really honor you any other day but Valentine's Day.
I guess what I'm saying is I feel like most people this week will get a gift mm-hmm. because it's February 14th.
Yes.
That's why.
And that's okay.
And that's what bugs me. That's what, because the man is telling him it's time.
He didn't get a gift back.
Yeah.
We have figured it all out.
This is a teenage sort of middle school thing.
So mad.
He showed up to work all cute little bean in his little suit, like young Sheldon.
Probably
little bow tie.
Yeah, little hearts on his bow tie.
Holding a small gift that's wrapped. And he says, excuse me, I got you a Valentine's Day gift. And then she takes it and she goes, thanks. And then turns around. And then forever, like a superhero, like a super villain.
Yeah.
Forever with an origin.
Yeah.
He will remember the moment he didn't get a gift back.
It was raining. He was with his parents. Mm-hmm. They were
and
murdered.
As soon as she said, thank you, and realized there's no gift back, lightning and thunder behind
him. Yes.
And then him at a grave looking up going, why?
Oh, and then his butler had to totally console him. I have seen this movie. Yeah.
I don't think she said thank you, by the way. I think she said either who are you?
Or just leave it there.
Or beat it, kid. I think those were the two opportunities. I don't know, Chip, where are you on Valentine's Day? You've been pretty quiet on this.
Well, you need to have a Valentine first.
Oh, that's right.
That's a big part.
Doesn't apply.
But I'm the same with Allie. Like, it's fine. I'm not really super into it, but if they want to celebrate it, cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, listen.
I don't have a villain backstory.
Right.
No, no. None of us do, except Bean. I'm telling you, Bean, you talk about not getting a gift back. I'm telling you right now, ladies, easiest gift ever. Just make a little coupon card, like handy on a Tuesday.
Okay, but that's something that should be going on anyway. That doesn't count as a gift.
Yeah, look. Trust me, the way I do it, it is a gift. And you will look forward to handing in that coupon.
For the record, Bean goes, that's not a gift. The origin forever.
Right, we found it.
Yeah, we know exactly what
it's
it
so
is.
Sad.
He needs
All
a
right,
gift.
Sheeple. All right, sheeple. You guys are happy with that. If you're being under the thumb of big government, I get it. Hey, pretty big show today. Let's talk about it.
We're not joking here, and your humor is not acceptable.
Okay. Oh. There's a real estate listing in the great state of, is it Pennsylvania? Is that where it is, Allie?
Mm-hmm.
And people are furious that this house is even being offered for sale.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever heard a story like that before. So we will discuss. Also, animal stories on the program today. Got some really good news in the animal stories, and then some that didn't work out as well as you might hope. Yesterday, my friend Russ Leatherman, a.k.a. Mr. Movie Phone, a.k.a. The Movie Man, a.k.a. 6 Second Reviews.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of being furious, maybe I'm just extra mad this week.
You really are, because you got really mad about this, which is insane.
And he was trying to, like, rope us in.
Yep.
You guys, did you see what Russ wrote? I was so mad.
Insane.
We're like, I don't think it's a thing. It is a thing.
It is a thing, because he was disparaging walnuts on social media yesterday.
Yeah.
And walnuts are one of the five greatest nuts.
No, not even top.
Absolutely 100%. Not up for debate.
They taste like hot dirt.
And I will not allow. First of all, I won't allow it. And second of all, if he does not apologize, then I'm cutting him out of my life. That I can't be friends with somebody who thinks walnuts are one of the worst nuts. I'm sorry.
We all wrote down our top five nuts, and you're going to have to be cutting a lot of people out of your lives, from what I understand.
Am I going to be living on a lonely island? Is that what you're saying?
Hoping someone gets you a gift, yes.
Maybe he got her walnuts.
Oh,
Allie,
I got
what's
you
the
walnuts. It's me, young Sheldon.
What's the elevator pitch on the stunning new Dina Lohan story that just came out?
Well, apparently she's been in a relationship with a man for 5 years that she's never met. She's convinced she's going to marry this man. They talk every single day. She's never met him, and they've never even FaceTimed. I need to know if other people are in this situation and why they're so dumb.
That sounds like a catfishing situation, because
100%.
Somebody knows Dina Lohan has money.
100%.
That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah.
5 years, though, is a long time to go keep that scam going.
Well, he lives really far, so that...
Oh, Australia? Is he down in Australia, New Zealand?
San Francisco.
Oh, she probably can't make it there.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
yeah.
It's so bad. 5 years.
Also, the very charming Naked Magicians are going to be on the program today.
Speaking of nuts...
And I know that the plan was to have them keep their clothes on, Allie, but I was watching some videos of them, some of their media yesterday. You may want to ask them to take their shirts off.
Okay.
I don't think you'd hate it.
All right.
And they do magic without having the ability to hide cards in their sleeves, for instance. I think they. I think what they say is good magicians don't need shirts, great magicians don't need pants. So the naked magicians are going to tell us
that for years.
All about what they're doing at the MGM. I think that'll be a lot of fun. And finally, we saved the best for last. How about this? Super director Robert Rodriguez on the program today. He is a legit star. And very, very talented. And he is the man behind, along with James Cameron, the new Alita Battle Angel opening everywhere on Valentine's Day, which looks fascinating to me. Mm-hmm. So Robert Rodriguez on the program in the 7 o'clock hour as well. We'll take a quick break. Allie's got What's Happening. That's just delightful.
Yep, wake up, everybody.
That's beautiful.
Wake up, everybody. Your robot's breaking.
K-Rock Wheels Up 2019 Destination Numero Cinco Vampire Weekend in Spain, you guys. 9 o'clock this morning, we'll give you tickets to see their show at the Hollywood Bowl on October 2nd, and then you qualify to see them at the Mad Cool Festival in Madrid. Madrid, by the way, that's a must-visit city right there. And you'll have a four-night hotel stay and round-trip airfare if you win the grand prize drawing. Grand prize drawing is Monday, but you can qualify this morning at 9 a.m. Allie, what's happening on this Tuesday morning?
Well, what's happening is the ratings for Sunday night's Grammy Awards up from last year. Mm-hmm. Not by a bunch, but up from last year, which is a big deal. 19.9 million viewers.
That's a lot of people.
That's a lot
for
of
any
people.
TV event on podcast TV.
Absolutely. It's good.
Yeah. Up slightly from last year's 19.8 million viewers. But up nonetheless, you guys.
That's very rare year to year in any kind of broadcast TV these days.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I just think this story is adorable. So Pink was nominated for Best Pop Vocal Album for Beautiful Trauma, but she lost to Ariana Grande's Sweetener. However, she posted on Instagram a photo of her kids, Willow, who's 7, and Jameson, that's 2, holding a tinfoil Grammy. They made a little tinfoil award for their mommy because she lost.
Aww.
That's sweet.
I mean, it's not a Grammy, though.
It's not a Grammy, Jensen. You're right.
It's a fake one.
Kids are stupid.
We're not saying kids are stupid. I'm saying once you have kids, Jensen, like I do, you'll see the beauty in that. It's adorable. No?
I mean,
no one's with me.
Makes me cry, too.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a real snowflake participation trophy, but sure.
Wow. I mean, this tune's going to change.
Nope, I think Jensen's going to hold firm, and he's going to raise his kid tough.
Okay, all right. A lot of stuff happening Grammy-related. Like when BET posts on their social medias after Cardi B becomes the first solo female rapper to win a Grammy for a rap album, a picture of her with this. Meanwhile, Nicki Minaj is being dragged by her lace front.
Yeah, bitch!
I mean, what are you
doing? They're trying to pit them against each other.
Yeah,
that's the thing, man.
Two female rappers can't be hot at the same time.
Well, congratulations, BET, because yesterday, Nicki Minaj announced that she and her label, Young Money, would not be part of the BET Experience later this summer, a concert series that she and Cardi B were booked to co-headline just days before the BET Awards in June. Big loss because you're losing Nicki Minaj, and that also means that Lil Wayne will pull out of the concert. Oops!
It's the headliners.
Probably your headliners, yeah.
Yeah!
Damn, son, where'd you find this?
That is not a good situation for BET, who quickly realized, we screwed up so big.
Did an intern get fired for posting that?
Well, they said, unfortunately, the respect we have for Nicki was violated by this post and should never have been written. The post does not reflect how we feel about Nicki and further does not reflect our company values.
Can I just say what a dumb thing that was to post.
Yeah.
So stupid.
Dumb. As if Nicki Minaj has anything to do with Cardi B winning a Grammy.
Yeah. It's so bad all around.
Well, not to play devil's advocate here, but I can a little. Nicki Minaj has, over the years, made it a little bit her versus other female rappers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she sort of always put herself above them. She's kind of called
them... Well, she's
them,
a queen, she says.
Yeah. and she's had small tiffs with Lil' Kim. She's had small tiffs early with Cardi B. And I'm not saying that requires this tweet to be sent, because this is very stupid. But Nicki Minaj has set up a competitive nature around her, and someone like Cardi B did not. Was just like, let everyone win.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Anyway, live on, women. Live on. That's always the thing, though. White rappers as well. Like, they're just pitted against each other.
So it brings out really great ciphers.
Yeah. Whoa. That sounds so natural.
Yeah. Thank you. this is just bad all around. But and we also have to stop saying what intern sent that, because a company like BET has a social media team.
Yeah.
That's not an intern sending it.
But so do we. And how's our social media going?
But we don't. Yeah. We don't have a company working for us.
Right.
I'm saying this is someone high up that posted that. That's an imbecile.
Yeah.
Bad situation. So, I mean, we'll just see how this all plays out when BET is like, please come back.
Yeah, you have to be.
We need you so, so much.
Good luck booking someone now.
Yeah, not a good situation. Hey, you guys missed the show Crank Yankers?
Not at all.
Originally on Comedy Central from 2002 to 2005.
I'm not a prank phone call guy.
Briefly brought back in 2007 on MTV2. Well, if you're like Bean and you miss it, you're going to be happy that it's back.
Yeah.
Comedy Central is bringing back Crank Yankers. They've ordered a 20-episode revival of the prank series. The show will now feature puppets pranking people on phones, social media, e-sport platforms, and other platforms.
It's a trap!
Original series co-creator Jimmy Kimmel will executive produce this new version. It's the first project under his newly formed Kimmelot production banner.
Oh, wow.
What happened to Jackal
Productions? Jackal, that's what I'm thinking.
I don't know. Kimmelot Production.
Okay.
We got to talk to him. Fellow co-creator Adam Carolla also involved as well.
I don't think Jimmy gets enough credit for introducing the word jackhole to the English language, by the way. He created that word.
Didn't the dictionary reach out to you guys to get, like, the exact time that he said it?
Yep, they wanted to find out how it started. Yes, because it's under consideration to be put in the dictionary. Yeah.
Can I tell you a rumor that I've heard that I don't know if it's true or not?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I've heard Daniel Kellison, who is a production partner of Jimmy Kimmel. I don't know if you guys... Do you know him?
Sure, of course, yeah.
Also involved to produce the show.
There you go. Makes sense. He was involved in the early Crank Yankers days. Mm-hmm. I heard he's the guy who goes, like the jackal noise in the logo. Uh-huh. And I heard that he gets paid like tens of thousands of dollars
every
a year.
Time because you hear
it gets used every time on the Kimmel show. But it's just a rumor, though. I don't know if that's
that
true.
That would be incredible.
And I love Daniel. I don't know if it's true, though. I should find out.
We need to get to the bottom of that because that's amazing.
It's just the donkey sound.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you get paid if you're in SAG-AFTRA. You get paid if something gets aired on TV. Like that, whose production company is it that has the card at the end that goes, not a doctor? That guy probably gets paid, too.
Yeah.
Anyway.
What about the Sit Ubu Sit?
Yeah.
Good job.
Sit Ubu Sit would be a big one.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. But I guess when you did it originally, for Crank Anchors or Man Show or any of those things, you don't think it's going to be on every day.
Yeah.
On network television.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I love that.
That would be amazing if that's paying for, like, generations and generations to come.
This will get back to Daniel and he'll let me know.
Of the Kellison family.
I'm a lawyer.
Right?
Another one, too.
Yeah,
good Lord. All right, guys, some birthdays for you. We've got Josh Brolin. We've got Darren Aronofsky, Gucci Mane, Mike Posner. Which doobie do you be? Michael McDonald, mother effers. Right? Remember from What's Happening when Raj calls the hotel and then he gets the... All right.
Nope.
Okay. It's one of my favorite shows. And happy birthday to Arsenio Hall.
All right. Hey, great to see you again. Welcome back, man.
It's a pleasure, man. Y'all keep rocking, okay?
Thank you. Arsenio Hall, folks. The people love him.
Do they?
I heard a guy on the radio say that.
I mean, maybe they will again with Coming to America, too.
Yeah.
True. And I'll have that story coming up. And
by the way, animal stories in about 15 minutes or so, including one of the craziest tiger stories I've ever heard. You guys haven't heard about this one yet. The tigers?
No.
Maybe.
Some very weird mating habits going on with tigers these days.
Oh, no.
And the great director Robert Rodriguez from Alita Battle Angel joins us just after 7 as well. First, though, Allie.
Bean.
You're cruising the real estate listings the other day, and you come across something you think you might want to buy.
Indeed. I don't know about you guys, but do you often look at, like, Zillow and Redfin, those type of listings?
All the time. I love it.
Me too.
I'm a complete voyeur when it comes to other people's houses.
If you get invited to someone's house for dinner, do you Zillow it?
Yes. See how much they paid for it? Absolutely.
Well, I walk around my neighborhood, you know, with Linus, and anytime a house goes up for sale, Donna and I write down the address. We can't wait to get home and look it up and see what it looks like on the inside.
Yes. Totally. Well, here's the thing. There is one house in particular that has been viewed more than 500,000 times on Redfin. And when I tell you that's a lot of views, and it just went up on Wednesday of last week.
Jeez.
Okay.
500,000 views. Let me just explain this house for you. It's in a quiet Philadelphia suburb, 5,000 square foot colonial, gourmet kitchen, 5 bedrooms, hardwood floors, great school district. It's $750,000. It's a home in Maple Glen.
What
a
deal.
Fully furnished, you guys.
Wow.
And it's fully furnished with a large finished basement, including whips, chains, bondage equipment, and a swing.
Excuse me?
What?
Wait,
whips,
hold on, back up.
Chains, bondage equipment, and a swing. In the basement.
But you said it's in a great school district? I mean,
yes, yes, exactly.
By the way, that house in L.A., what's that cost?
Oh,
$3 million?
$3 million at least, yeah. So the listing agent, Melissa Leonard, says it's what I call a private adult playground or sexual oasis. They're calling it 50 Shades of Maple Glen. But neighbors are not happy about this, you guys. As you can imagine, finding out that someone lives in your neighborhood that enjoys sex is very disturbing to neighbors.
This is America, Allie. We pretend that nobody ever has sex, ever.
Well, here's one of my favorites. This was on a local affiliate in Philly. A guy named Barry Katz, who's one of the neighbors, said, "It's not for us. Take it downtown. Take it to Los Angeles or Hollywood or wherever. Just not here."
What possible difference can it make what your neighbors are doing as consenting adults in their basement?
Amen.
Next to your house. What possible difference can it make?
It's also pretty insane.
You wouldn't even know it existed unless they put it in the real estate ad.
That's
like,
right.
And that's the whole point of a lot of the neighbors that are like, why did you have to put that in there? You could have sold this house anyway. So Melissa Leonard, the real estate agent, was doing an interview with Slate. Mm-hmm. And she was approached by a really mad neighbor. And he's like, "You got to take it down. We're very upset about the whole thing. Take it off the internet. It's disgusting. We don't want that." And she said, "If the owner wants those photos, that's his choice." And he said, "Look at all these people. They're driving here to see the sex house." And the woman was like, "No, it's just because every single live TV truck is in the neighborhood because this is somehow a story now." It's insane. And you may be wondering, okay, well, 500,000 views on Redfin, does that mean anyone's actually interested in the house or if they're just looky-loose?
Yeah.
She said she had 38 showings scheduled through Wednesday, and she's not concerned that people are going to be not wanting the house because of the bonus
dungeon,
if you will, because I don't know, you can change it. You don't have to keep it like that.
You could easily turn that into a nursery.
Amen.
Exactly. When you buy a house that's furnished,
right,
you keep what you want and you get rid of the rest.
Exactly. Yeah. And a lot of people are wondering why they're keeping it like that. Like, a lot of places are staged differently. Why not stage it differently? He rents out the house on Airbnb for up to $2,000 a night. So, yeah, he wanted to keep the accoutrements in the house because a lot of people were renting it.
Well, that's
for
more annoying to me. I don't want my neighbor's Airbnb all the time.
Yeah, amen, amen. But the part of this article that I really kind of latched onto was this. I'm sorry for laughing, but the owner lost his wife last year and then renovated the basement with this new girlfriend.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I didn't know that.
No.
Very dark turn.
What?
Wow, has his life changed?
Or is that how she died?
Even creepier. He and his children, one in high school, one in college, live there part-time. "Sorry, mommy's dead. Here's my new girlfriend. She's going to be tied up in the basement." What?
I don't know if you've been paying attention, but there are many, many feet of new, fresh, white snow at Southern California snow resorts, and K-Rock is taking advantage of that as we storm Bear Mountain coming up on Saturday, February the 23rd. Our own Nicole Alvarez and the K-Rock promo crew are going to be up there. You can enjoy a free concert on the deck with the band Bad Flower and DJ Jeremiah Red as well. You can enter to win your lift tickets at krock.com. That sounds like fun, right?
Very.
Yeah.
Hey, animal stories. Hit it, Steve.
Maybe a raccoon or a story about a dog. Maybe a baboon or a story about a frog. A story about a cat or a pizza rat. A story about a minx or a story about a lynx. Animal stories.
We got some good news and some bad news, you guys, with animal stories today. A little something for everybody. I want to start with the London Zoo. I don't know if you guys saw this story, but they have a very successful breeding program there for a number of species, including the Sumatran tigers. They had a 10-year-old female there named Melody, who they felt it was time to introduce to a new beau. So they brought in Asim, a 7-year-old tiger. And they were, the plan was to mate them. The plan was that this was going to, you know, there are fewer than 600 of these Sumatran tigers in the wild. So they figured, hey, if we can make one in a zoo, good news, right?
Yeah.
So they did everything right. They hoped that Asim would be a perfect mate for their beautiful Melody. The two tigers were held in the adjoining enclosures before being in the same space so they could see and smell and react to each other. And last Friday, they introduced the two young lovers. And there had been some chuffing sounds, which is a happy sound they make to let they, you know, let each other know that they're down. And they were very interested in each other already. And then something went horribly wrong as Asim attacked and killed Melody.
What?
Which is the opposite of what they were trying to do.
Melody, Dottie, Asim don't like to potty.
I don't know what that means, but it seems apropos of this story. Asim was coaxed into a separate enclosure. They used flares, alarms, and other loud noises to distract them, and then were able to wrangle the boy into a separate enclosure, but it was too late. Melody had already died.
What a dick.
So you think, totally a dick move, yeah. So you think that you're putting these tigers together to make more tigers, you end up with fewer tigers than you started with.
Yeah, talk about negging.
Yeah, right. Imagine how horrified they were at the zoo, and I'm not making light of this because I know how deeply they care for the animals that they have at the zoo. I mean, this is something they were really excited about having. And what made something like that happen? Like, why would the boy tiger not go, score?
Yeah.
You know? It's just, I guess we'll never know the answer to that one, but sad story.
Yeah.
Right. In a terrorist situation. Authorities say a suburban Minneapolis resident reported a strange intruder in her basement. It was a horse.
Oh, wait. What? Hold on.
It was a horse in her basement, you guys. Invergrove Heights police arrived at the woman's home late Friday night to find a pale-colored horse walking through various rooms as officers watched through windows from the outside. Police Sergeant Adam Wiedehoff says the investigation is ongoing. And here's a great sentence. It isn't clear how the horse got into the house.
What? How is that possible?
The animal's owner came by to remove it. A message on the police department's Facebook page read that no horses or officers were hurt in the incident and the horse was safely returned to the corral.
But the mystery lives on.
It does. The only thing I was thinking that doesn't make any sense, but I'm just grasping at straws here, is, you know, they've had terribly cold weather in Minneapolis lately.
Mm-hmm.
I just wondered if maybe somebody said, hey, that horse shouldn't be outside. Let's put it someplace inside where it has a better chance of not being cold. I don't know. But you'd think the owner would have done something like that, you know? Wouldn't it be in a neighbor's house?
And, yeah, I don't think anyone in Minnesota right now is leaving their
doors
wide
open.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, very weird story. Police in Nashville used an oatmeal cream pie to lure a loose chicken that had led officers on a wild chase through the city's downtown. Witness Phil Breedlove captured video of the chicken blocking traffic on Thursday morning, being chased through a busy intersection. That must have been scary for a while when you have a chicken out there in traffic, right? Police say Officer Frank Campbell was eventually able to capture the fugitive fowl by luring it with a Little Debbie oatmeal cream pie.
Mm-hmm.
Metro Animal Control is taking care of the chicken till it can be turned over to an animal rescue group. There is no word as to why the chicken was crossing the road.
Oh. Well, that's a great Little Debbie ad now, right?
Absolutely.
That is also a way to get me out of my house. Like, I love Little Debbie cakes.
Yeah.
A large alligator trapped a woman inside her Orlando home for hours Thursday afternoon. You know, we've all been inconvenienced by somebody parking behind us in a lot, and then we got to wait till they come out or get them towed or something like that. Imagine if you're Victoria McAllister and you're trying to leave your home, but there's a 9-foot alligator camping out against your garage door.
Jeez.
WESH-TV Chopper 2 arrived just seconds before the trapper hired by the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Committee shot the gator.
Ah.
They said the animal was extremely aggressive, making a capture too difficult or too dangerous, and the animal was hauled away. McAllister said it was a frightening few hours. The trapper told McAllister the gator likely came from a retention pond across the street. She says it's not the first time an alligator has shown up in her yard, but it was certainly one of the biggest. I have not encountered this in Louisiana yet. There are over 2 million alligators in my state, but so far none of them have turned up in my front yard. Finally, on this edition of Kevin and Bean's Animal Stories, please tell me you saw the photograph that was going around about Fluffy the cat.
No.
I don't think so.
My Google alert has failed me for cat.
Kalispell, Montana is where we go. Listen to this.
Be the most fascinating story of the day, maybe of the week. A cat in Montana survives being left in freezing temperatures and comes back to life.
This cat looked like, how do you even describe it? I mean, it looked like it had been frozen solid in the snow.
Now I remember the pictures. It looked like a snowball.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was clearly dead, right?
Right.
I mean, when you saw that cat, you thought, this poor cat just got caught outside in a storm, couldn't get away, and froze to death.
I didn't even click on the story because I'm like, that cat's gone.
That cat's gone, right? Yeah. But somebody found Fluffy in the snow and turned her into a vet.
This is the cat. Look at this. Essentially frozen to death. The owner took her to the vet's office after finding her in a snowbank. The temperature was 10 degrees outside. Doctors then used warm water to slowly defrost the cat and bring her temperature up. The cat's name is Fluffy, not Frozy. Fluffy.
That's good.
The cat's name is Fluffy, not Frozy. Fluffy.
It's better the second time.
Do you think he would like to take that back?
No, he loved it.
The owner said, Fluffy used to be an outdoor cat, but not anymore.
It is a remarkable story, by the way.
Yeah, incredible.
There must be some sort of, I don't know, like when animals hibernate, they go into some sort of state, you know, where they're...
Like Florida.
No, he like means like bliss,
got it.
Survival mode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where your heartbeat slows way down and you just, you know, you basically don't need anything to kind of just sleep it off or something like that. But it's that's a miracle. So I'm sorry to start with the tiger getting killed, but at least we end on a positive note with Fluffy being fine.
Please, Frozy.
Frozy, sorry, right?
Yeah.
And this has been Animal Stories.
Animal Stories in the news. Animal Stories to cure your blues.
I mean, the guy made Machete. What is he doing coming on our show, you know?
Does he know, do you think?
From Dusk Till Dawn, all the Spy Kids movies. I mean, Grindhouse.
He made a very underrated movie called The Faculty, which was Josh Hartnett and Usher Raymond.
Oh, yes.
Ah. Yeah. And John Stewart. John Stewart's in that.
That's right. Mm.
And I remember Josh Hartnett, all the press was that he cut his own hair. And I thought that was a weird thing to go out to press with.
Wow.
We are talking about director Robert Rodriguez, who, of course, is in theaters starting Thursday with his new one, the Alita movie. Alita, Girl Power? Was it?
Battle Angel?
Battle Angel.
Alita Girl Power.
Yeah, Girl Power, I think is what it's called. Anyway, he'll join us. We'll get the title right, and he'll join us right after 7 a.m. Coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. First, though, it's Allie time. What's happening?
One of us has to ask him about a movie that is coming up, Machete in Space.
Oh, yeah, we could do that.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah. Have to ask him about that.
Machete
that
sounds, Girl Power.
Yes.
That sounds insane. Both of them. I'll go see them both.
Okay, excellent. You guys see the big hubbub yesterday with the Oscars?
Yes.
I mean, are they trying to do everything wrong leading up to when it airs on February 24th?
I may disagree with the public on this because I've been one for years saying stop presenting the dumb awards that we don't care about on the broadcast.
All right, tune out if you're an editor, if you do makeup and hair science. Just tune out for a bit.
The good news is we're not
in the L.A. market.
Yeah.
Look, I know what they're doing is important. I get that. And I'm not taking anything away from
you. No, please don't call.
I'm not taking anything away from your craft, but I'm just saying what I care about is me, the home viewer, and the entertainment value I get out of the Oscars.
But you don't think that they could have come up with just a quicker process to celebrate those people?
Let me tell you what it is.
Yeah. Yes, please. Sorry.
So in a break with tradition, four categories of Oscars will be presented during commercial breaks. Those categories are cinematography, film editing, live action short, and makeup and hairstyling. Here's the thing I don't get. The winning speeches will air later in the broadcast.
I mean, edited down, I'm sure.
I'm sure, but...
Yeah, they'll go to a commercial with 20 seconds of the cinematographer's speech,
I guess. Be like, thanks. It'll just be, like, in a row.
The only thing is...
Who will edit it, though?
Exactly. They're like, we're not doing it. But in future years, 4 to 6 different categories may be selected on a rotating basis. So that means that these live action short film editing, cinematography, makeup and hairstyling will be back in next year's show.
Well, I highly doubt that 1 year the best actor, best actress, best movie and best director will get the rotation.
I don't think they'll be in it at
Look,
all.
Look, we tune in to see famous people, okay? Mm-hmm. You may be the best animated short editor of all time, mm-hmm. but you're not good TV. Wow. I'm sorry, unpopular opinion.
I mean, you have them. I think, listen, it's a very slippery slope because people want the show to be like shorter. Mm-hmm. They don't want the long run time. Things have to be done and they're going to be unpopular. I just wonder if making the industry itself mad is the way to go.
Yeah.
That's fair.
And they
That's
had tried and they had tried to lessen the songs down. People mm-hmm. freaked out about that, and then mm-hmm. it went back up to 5. So yeah. it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation.
Yeah, right. The show will include performances of all 5 Best Original Song nominees and a performance by the LA Philharmonic during the In Memoriam segment.
Yeah.
But I'm going to stick up for my editors out there. Y'all deserve your kudos, and you deserve your moment, because editing, to me, is the most important part of a film.
Someone's trying to date an editor.
There, I just said it. I lived near a very famous editor who is one of the most wonderful men ever. Rest in peace, Jerry Greenberg. He passed away last year, but I mean, he did Scarface, French Connection, like every movie, like French Connection, that car scene at the beginning. Just stop it, Oscars.
Well, let's talk about him in a commercial break. It's where he belongs.
Wow. Well, he's passed.
Per Bean.
So.
Oh, he's dead to me.
Moving on. Guys, what's going on with this movie? Or this, I guess it'll be a Netflix movie.
Girl Power?
No. This is called The Irishman. It's Martin Scorsese's Netflix movie.
No, that has been really talked about for quite some time.
Yeah. It's reuniting Al Pacino and Robert De Niro. It's going to involve time jumps that involve Pacino playing Jimmy Hoffa at various points in his lifetime. And I'm not talking time jumps of like a few years. We're talking time jumps of half of his age. So they're not erasing, you know, 10 years. They're going to have, let's say, 78-year-old Al Pacino playing Hoffa at age 39. That's half his age. They're going to CGI it. And it's not just a little part of the movie. It's going to be half the movie where they're playing half their age.
Will they take his Godfather face or something and just put it on his current body or something like that? Or
I hope so.
You know what I mean? Like a deep fake.
Well, it's going to be CGI, so they could do whatever it entails. But it's a big risk
can
to
I
do
make,
it for
can
half
I make
the
him
film.
Stop yelling?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, then I'm still in. This is a Scorsese movie, correct?
A Scorsese movie, yeah. Pacino is playing Jimmy Hoffa, and then Robert De Niro is playing mob hitman Frank the Irishman Sheeran.
And Joe Pesci's in it. It's really, truly like a Goodfellas reunion.
It's going to be incredible.
Yeah. And I'm sure Gimme Shelter will be somewhere on the soundtrack.
Yeah. With a weird pan out of a car with a dead person in it.
I hope so.
It'll be a very long opening track that goes on for 3 minutes without a cut.
This cast is nuts. Robert De Niro, Anna Paquin, Al Pacino, Jesse Plemons, Ray Romano, Bobby Cannavale, Joe Pesci, Harvey Keitel. This is nuts.
Oh my God. It's perfect.
Take my money now.
Yeah.
Take my money, but leave the cannoli.
Ugh.
Look at Ali making a Godfather joke.
Thank you.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
You've entered the lexicon.
See? You couldn't have done that a year ago.
I couldn't have. I just watched The Godfather. So that'll be interesting, guys. Some birthdays for you. Director Darren Aronofsky. Rapper Gucci Mane. Singer Mike Posner. Comedian and talk show host Arsenio Hall.
What's he doing with his day-to-day life now?
Getting ready for Coming to America, which I didn't do that story, which I was going to do second in this thing.
Arsenio Hall is here. Looking good.
So good. Happy birthday to Josh Brolin and my favorite Doobie Brother, which Doobie you be, Michael McDonald. Who's with me, right? Huh?
I'm a big fan.
Okay.
Furious about this nut battle, you guys, and I'm not going to let it go.
insane.
We're going to talk to Mr. 6 Second Reviews, or as I like to call him, Wrong Man, coming up in about 15 minutes or so here in K-Rock. First, though, very excited about Alita Battle Angel in theaters everywhere here in America on Thursday. Already a sensation in the UK. The director of that film is Robert Rodriguez, who is on the phone long time. Mr. Rodriguez, how you doing?
Been a while. Doing good.
Good to talk to you. Well, we've been talking about, as we've been waiting for you to get on the line here, that Alita Battle Angel is in theaters everywhere this Thursday. Is this a perfect Valentine's Day movie?
It is. Absolutely. Take your significant other. You can take your family. It's, you know, Jim Cameron wrote it. It's for all audiences all over the world. It's a big movie.
Yeah, I always want my family to be there for Valentine's Day, so that sounds good.
Well, if you don't have a Valentine, take your family.
There you go. Tell me about this Cameron connection, because I think, A, people are surprised now to find out that you guys have been friends for 25 years, but B, the plan all along was for him to kind of get this project started and then hand it off to you. Is that my understanding?
No. The plan all along was for him to direct it. He wrote this for himself to direct. He got the rights back in 1999. I've known him since before Desperado.
Wow.
We go way back. We started very similar. You know, he started with scrappy, do-it-yourself, do-every-job type filmmaking. He's from the Roger Corman school of, you know, Terminator and things like that. He just made such big movies, you forget he started very hands-on. But we always got along for those reasons. And I shot the first digital 3D movie with his camera. He started doing Steadicam after I started doing Steadicam. And we always just liked the methodology that we used. It was very outside of Hollywood. But he was going to do this in 2005 before Avatar, and hadn't quite cracked the script yet. The script was ready on Avatar first, so he went off to shoot Avatar. So just as a fan, I was always asking him about it because I was wondering when he would make, you know, Alita Battle Angel. And it wasn't until about 3 or 4 years ago that he said, I don't think I'll ever get a chance, you know, to make it. But if you want to read what I did, go ahead and check it out. And I read it and just loved it. I thought it was so universal, so relatable, much bigger themes than the genre it was in. Super entertaining, and I worked on the script and handed it back, and he liked what I did with it, and get mommy directed. So getting to learn from him has just been the best, you know, ever.
I love that 13 years ago he's like, I don't have time, I'm doing Avatar, and then he's like, again, I don't have time, I'm doing Avatar now.
Yeah. Well, because he's doing 40 of them. I mean, right? What's the deal?
He's doing like, yeah, 40 or 50 of them. I mean, when you create your own ecosystem and planetary system and world and race, it's you might as well just make movies there. Why make movies on Earth anymore?
Yeah, it takes 6 months to come up with just your own language. Robert, like, I knew Rosa from Los Angeles. She was like a UCB kid with all of us, and like watching now her be this like computer in your movie, like that is so insane to me. Like, how does that process come together? Was that always to sort of digitize her?
You know, Jim was going to do this back in 2005 when he showed me his script and his artwork. The artwork was so captivating. It was going to be a photoreal manga come to life character with the large eyes. And I thought, God, if he was going to do that in 2005 with the technology as rudimentary as it was back then, that's table stakes for now. So I had to do that. I had to find the right actress who could really bring it to life and act through that CG. And if you know Rosa, then you know she's 100% coming through the computer-generated imagery. I mean, it really sets a new bar because she's so warm and inspirational and relatable and feels more human than human. You know, the eyes are the window of the soul. Those are some big eyes, and she looks so well through it that she feels like you forget that she's not human. It's a very cool effect.
We are speaking with director Robert Rodriguez about his film Alita Battle Angel in theaters everywhere Thursday for Valentine's Day. Forgive me if this is a dumb question, Robert, but we've seen so many advances in filmmaking technology, and you look at the Pixar movies and how believable and realistic they are. Are we near a point, you think, where you won't have to use actors and you can just make a movie that looks like real people in real situations and none of them were ever existing or filmed?
I mean, if you were making a movie about robots, I think you'd get away with that. But, you know, this is so powered by the actor. It's kind of like the new version of prosthetics. An actor can play a role they normally couldn't play. Like Jackie Earle Haley is 5'5", and he's playing this 10-foot creature that goes up against, you know, Alita. And it just gives you, it's like not having to wear prosthetics and you can play any part. You need the actor to drive it, though. I mean, you would not feel so, you know, close to the Alita character or, you know, just inspired by her If she was just played by a computer. I mean, it's the humanity that's coming through that really does the mind trick on you.
Wow, you're really hung up on humans, Robert. I know we haven't opened yet here in America, but you must be very encouraged how people were raving on it and making big money already in UK where you opened last weekend.
Yeah, no, it's exciting to see. It's a definitely my movies that I normally make aren't like always world players, but Jim's are. His movies play all around the world. He knows how to tap into the themes and the universal truths that just get people going all over the world. He just makes them at that level. That's really what I wanted to learn from him. He's pretty amazing.
Now, Robert, you don't know this about Bean, but Bean doesn't leave the house often. And I'm thinking this is a movie he's not going to want to watch on his iPad when it's released then. This is a movie you need to see in the theater, right?
You have to see it in the theater, on the biggest screen you can find. You'll find that it's also like the best 3D you've seen since Avatar. It's the same team working on it, because a lot of those movies, most of them, 99% of them, are just converted these days. It was actually shot real live 3D on the set, the way Jim and I have always, you know, wanted to do them. And it's really eye-popping, and the visuals are, you know, what makes a great movie is the mix of truth and spectacle. This has tons of spectacle, but the human truth of it is really what you walk away with. You almost can see her better because of that.
Well, you mentioned Rosie Salazar. I want to make sure people know this cast is stacked. Oscar winner Christoph Waltz, Oscar winner Jennifer Connelly, Oscar winner Mahershala Ali, Jackie Earle Haley. I think he was nominated. I mean, it's one great actor after another, and two great filmmakers have been working on this movie for years and years and years in theaters everywhere. This Thursday, it's called Alita Battle Angel. Very excited to see it. And it's been too long since we had you on, Robert. Come by and see us sometime,
I know.
Right?
I'm going to come by. I have to come by. I'll
Robert, when you make Machete Kills in Space,
that's what I wanted to
we need you to sit in for an entire week.
Seriously.
So keep that in mind.
All right, get to it. We'll talk to you then. Thanks, Robert.
Thanks.
LANOC's Alternative Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ, and it's Tuesday morning. Guys, I have a serious topic to broach. I don't usually like to get too deep into this emotional stuff.
Yeah, you also don't like to get political, and here you go.
I don't, but I got a lot of feelings on this, and we need to talk about it. Has it happened to you where you've had somebody who's been in your life that has been you've been close to, they've been a friend, and then you grow apart in a way that they maybe it's political, maybe it's a social issue. Like, for instance, Jensen, could you be friends with, if you found out somebody in your circle of friends was an anti-vaxxer, is that somebody you could stay friends with?
No, that is not.
A deal breaker, right?
Yeah, because then I'm having a kid and then I'm nervous to bring him around that person, a whole bunch of stuff, yeah.
Allie, if you had a friend that you get together a couple times a year and then you realize one day at lunch that he or she is a racist, is that person now in your life, or is that person, is it bye-bye time?
Do they pay for lunch? Or of course not, Bean. You say goodbye.
You're not friends with a racist, right?
No.
You don't want that. Okay. Well, this is the problem that I'm having that I need you guys to help me with.
Okay.
My good friend, not radio friend, but actual real-life friend, Russ Leatherman, who we all have known and loved for years. He was Mr. Movie Phone. Then he was the movie man. He's the 6-second reviews guy. He's one of the very few people that I follow on social media. And yesterday, he responded to a tweet from a account called Better Food Daily. They were hyping some sort of cashew. And he said, "I never met a nut I didn't like." Actually, not true. Walnuts suck are the words that he put down on his Twitter account that went through me like a knife.
Oh, right. Changed you.
Jeez.
Walnuts suck, Russ? That's what he put out there for the world to see. Like, he's got a family, you know, and he's going to say that on the internet.
It lives forever.
It does live forever. That's not going to be something that he could just pretend didn't happen or gloss over and think, hey, that wasn't important. He said walnuts suck.
Yeah.
So I wrote to him and I said, "You're coming at walnuts when Brazil nuts still exist? Sad." He wrote back and said that walnuts are the ruiner of all cookies and breads. And don't even get me started on putting them in salads. Walnuts are one of the 3 or 4 best things you could ever put into a salad.
Bean.
No.
What is wrong with this guy?
Russ Leatherman 2020.
Yeah, he's, I mean.
He's right.
You're
he's
not,
right.
You're not finding a choir here.
We're
not
with
you.
What is happening here?
Walnuts taste like hot dirt.
I have to cut all of you out of
you
my
do.
Life?
You do. And before we go to Mr. Leatherman, I said to him that Bean will rue the day he brought up this discussion. And he said he has no idea what he's up against. I know my nuts.
All right. Let's – I need that tape, Chip, if you don't mind.
I've already marked it.
Let's go to my my former friend. We used to be close, but now I've got to change my phone number. Russ Leatherman is on the phone. Hey, Adolf Hitler, how are you?
Oh, jeez.
What's up, lesbian?
Russ, this is what's going to tear us apart after all of these years. How are you coming at walnuts?
Well, first of all, let me just say I'm very excited because I get an email from Dave. And I'm thinking, I see the email, and I'm thinking, oh, so Kevin wants to talk about Alita Battle Angel, or Allie wants to talk about Isn't It Romantic, right? Like, it's time to talk about movies again. And Dave's like, nope, nuts. Let me talk about nuts.
It's nut talk time.
And I'm thinking, have we each reached the end of radio? Kind of like you get to the end of the internet, and then it's over. This is the end of radio.
That's been true for this show for a number of years, actually, Russ. It's a miracle we're still on the air. All right, I see that you're trying to divert attention from your awful, awful opinion. But why? How did it happen that you typed the words "walnuts suck" yesterday? And do you already regret it? And did you agree to come on as an apology?
No, none of that. First of all, I do know my nuts, right? And I love nuts because I believe that many nuts belong on many food items. For example, you have some pad thai. Right, you go with the extra peanuts. Mm-hmm. Now, someone argue that peanuts not actually a nut, a legume, but they are a fantastic food. Wait, are we getting too technical? Are we too deep?
No. I think the excitement in you saying it was.
By the way, that's a fair point. But I think for most of us, we consider peanuts part of the nut family,
yes.
Even though technically they're not. I think most of us would consider that a nut.
Yeah, but walnuts. And pecans, right? They're the same god-awful sort of nut.
Oh, yeah.
They don't belong in any – they are the ruiner of breads. Bring me a nice banana bread. You put a nut in it, I'm just not getting close to the bread.
I'm not buying a banana nut muffin if it doesn't have walnuts on the top of it. That's what makes it a special treat.
It is gross and disgusting.
I didn't know we were going to get so controversial this morning.
And walnuts in a salad, Russ, it's a phenomenal accoutrement.
Unless they're candied walnuts, and even then I say that's just candy over hot dirt.
It's candy over hot dirt.
Yeah.
I think you tried to come. Somebody came back with Brazil nuts.
Brazil nuts are easily the worst nut. Easily.
Hazelnut. What's the difference between a Brazil nut and a hazelnut? They're both white, mealy, sort of. It's a mushy nut is what it is.
Yeah, I put both of them at the bottom of the list. I agree with you that they're terrible nuts. But this is what I'm saying. You can't say that walnuts suck and not first. I mean, are you saying
you are not going to find a walnut lover. You can look high and low.
I am a walnut lover.
You're the only one.
Russ, in your opinion, because we're gonna track this and we're going to invite some calls at 1-800-520-1068. And if you had to come up with your list of the best nuts, say top five, what would they be? What's the best nut to start with?
Well, I do believe you can put a nut on almost any food item, except even in a cookie, no peanuts, right? Like in a cookie or a bread, no peanuts. I love me some cashews.
Yeah!
Cashews.
Wait. Everyone loves cashews. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Love those. Pine nuts. I'm a fan of.
They're on my top five.
Yeah.
Pistachios.
They're on my top five.
Hold on a sec. Before you move on, would pine nuts ever be something that you would eat by themselves, or do they only work as an accessory?
Oh, I eat them by themselves, by the handful.
Really?
Yeah, me too. Yeah, me too.
I never heard of that before.
I'm just saying, Russ and I know our nuts.
Yeah, so you're saying pine nuts top five, though.
Mm-hmm.
Any love for almonds?
I got it.
What are those?
Wait,
thank you, Russ. Go.
Any love for what?
Exactly.
Almonds.
Almonds, you dick.
I do enjoy the Almond Brothers, yes. Is that
Why are you saying almonds?
I sing almonds.
I've been a fan of the Almond Brothers forever.
Yeah, I do enjoy Hellman mayonnaise also.
All right. I'll say almonds.
Hashtag nut cheese.
I'll say almonds. All right. How about almonds? Any love for almonds?
No.
No.
Well, yes, Pete, we like the almond. And we like to eat them, and we like them when they're coated with stuff. and a handful of almonds every day keep you pooping straight. So so that's good.
Can I give you my top five real quick?
Yeah, please.
Last night, then we'll go to some calls in the next segment. I stayed up for hours. My top five: cashews, number one; pistachios, number two; peanuts, three; four almonds; five macadamias.
Okay.
Oh, see, now macadamias, I got no room for at all.
Macadamia is number one on
for
my
you?
List. Yes,
whoa!
Number one. Number one, followed by pistachio, pine nuts. Are corn nuts nuts?
I don't think corn nuts count. I don't think they're real nuts.
What about D's?
Oh, D's nuts, I think we can all agree on.
That's my top five.
That's ceremonial number one. All right, so we're going to take your calls. All the phones are already ringing off the hook, by the way, at 1-800-520-1067.
Oh, it's like Apple Talk times two.
It is. We're going to take some calls, and we're going to try to sort this thing out and find out what the real top five list is. But, Russ, I'm going to give you one last opportunity to apologize for smearing walnuts if you want to remain friends with me.
I may smear walnuts, but it's not going to be because we're friends.
That took a real turn.
Hold on. I'm thinking about that. Sounded messy. Okay. All right, Russ. Love you. Thank you for coming on. We'll talk again soon.
Hashtag nut cheese. Let's go.
Okay. Bye-bye. I don't even think lightning comes in anymore. I can't remember the last time I saw him. Trey writes in, Team Walnut all the way, number two behind pecans, he says. Any thoughts?
No, that's not a true statement.
Kelly writes, hashtag walnut lover. Never thought I'd say this, but I am team bean because walnuts are awesome, you guys, and you're all wrong. We're going to get to your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let's take one ahead of the Chili Peppers. Let's make it Dan line three, please. Pico Rivera. Dan, what say you? It's Nut Talk on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh, wow. Okay, so that's the first time for that. My number one is cashew. Even though everything I'm talking about so far aren't really nuts. Cashews are accessory fruits. Walnuts are droops. But I got to go cashew.
Beat it, nerd.
Beat it, nerd indeed. Look, in all practical purposes, a cashew is a nut, right? It may not be classified that way by science, but when you go out for nuts, cashews is something that you buy and enjoy, right?
Oh, it's the best, too.
Because otherwise, it's technically what, like a seed or something, right? So now we're going to get into like sunflower seeds and stuff like that. That just mucks everything up.
Hold on, Dan. You said that walnuts are what? A droop?
A droop, yeah.
That says it right there, right? Droopy nuts. Who wants droopy nuts, Dan, right?
All right. We appreciate you listening. Appreciate you calling. Hey, the older you get, the droopier they get, too. I'm warning you now. 1-800-520-1067 if you want to contribute to Nut Talk. We'd love to hear from you coming up next on K-Rock. This is a sad day for me as I realize I'm going to have to start cutting a lot of people out of my life.
I mean, it's trending worldwide. Hashtag Nut Talk.
Casey, who I thought I was friends with, is the finger on the button lady here at the Kevin and Bean Show. My top five nuts are regarding our current Kevin and Bean topic. Number one, Marcona almonds. What are those? What's a Marcona almond?
Wow, it's an almond that's good at radio?
Created radio?
Then she has number two almonds. So her top twos are both almonds. All right, number three, macadamia nuts.
Nice. Ugh.
Number four, walnuts, right on.
Yuck.
Number five, Brazil nuts, the worst nut. She says cashews, pistachios, pecans, and hazelnuts can all die.
Boo. Okay, pistachios should live forever in our hearts.
She is all over the map there with that, isn't she?
Those are a lot of hot takes.
Garrett writes in, walnuts are the worst. Why would I eat a nut with paper film on it? I'd rather my kid punch me in my nuts than eat walnuts.
Amen.
Worst protein ever. Burn all the walnut farms. Rachel, mostly walnuts and pecans. Almonds are trash. So a lot of people have a lot of opinions on this.
Can I read you my favorite tweet?
Yeah.
All caps with the clapping hand in between from Lizeth Oriana. Cashews are seeds. They give us one of the most wonderful fruits in the world. Your other faves could never.
So she is team cashew.
She's insane.
All right. Let's get right back to your calls. 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with, give me Shadi, please. Line six. She's in Glendale. She says there's a reason why some people hate walnuts.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Shadi. Welcome to the program. What do you have to say about walnuts, which is one of my very favorite nuts?
So I learned that people who don't like walnuts might have a genetic predisposition not to.
Well, there's definitely something wrong with them.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're basically deformed. Those people might also not like cilantro. So it's the same chemical compound.
I hate cilantro. Oh, my God.
My most hated food.
And mine, too. Wait, is this serious, Shadi?
Yeah, so I'm sorry. There's something wrong with you guys.
Oh, no.
So it really could. It could be that we are describing a different taste sensation. Those of us who love walnuts is not the same taste that they're getting if they've got that genetic malfunction.
That's interesting. Yeah,
is it also why I'm so hairy, Shadi?
And Allie as well, by the way, while we're being honest here.
So hairy.
Are you some sort of like scientist or something, Shadi? Because that's very smart material there.
I just waste a lot of time on the internet, guys.
Oh. Okay. All right. Fair enough. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we go with Alfonso? He's line 8 up next on the Kevin Amin Show. Is he calling from Walnut?
This has turned
into Inception here.
I'm actually on my way to work right now.
Do you work in Cashew?
This just got too real.
Walnut, California.
Okay.
All right.
We're known for our California black walnuts.
Well, then God bless you.
In my personal opinion, I don't like walnuts, but I love cilantro. So, I don't know if I agree with Shadi's theory there. Okay. So,
what's your favorite nut?
My favorite nut and the only one I eat, almonds.
Yay!
I love macadamias.
I don't eat pecans. I used to eat peanuts, mm-hmm. Like at baseball games and stuff, uh-huh. but they gave me the runs. So,
a lot of info there, Alfonso. Yeah.
Guys, Alfonso from Walnut gets the runs. We know a lot about him.
We are learning an awful lot today on many topics.
Yeah.
All right, so between Shadi and Alfonso, I'm more confused than ever before. All right, here's my top 5 nuts, you guys. Mm-hmm. I will agree with you that cashews are the best, but only salted cashews. And this is an important distinction for me because I do eat a lot of nuts unsalted. Because I don't need all that salt. You know what I mean? And cashews unsalted, not great.
No, they're not great. They taste a little like leather.
Yeah.
But having salt on them is good.
Number 2, pistachios.
Sure.
Yeah.
Number 3, walnuts. Number 4, peanuts.
Yeah.
All right.
Number 5, almond.
Yeah.
That's my list. I got no room for your fancy macadamia nuts. I'm sorry. So I don't think we're that far. I think, Allie, I think you and I can still be friends.
Okay.
I think.
All right.
Jensen, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to let you go.
Well, I'm sure a lot of the trolls will enjoy that.
You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. I thought we're going to have to put our nut animosity behind us and so we can move on, I think, to some other topics.
I don't know.
Do I have to still stay in this cage, though?
I'm afraid you do.
It's so tight in here.
We do have tickets for Vampire Weekend on this morning's program. In about an hour from right now, you can see them at the Hollywood Bowl October 2nd. Plus, you qualify to see them again at the Mad Cool Festival, which is in Madrid, Spain. Mm. 4-night hotel stay, round-trip airfare. It's K-Rock Wheels Up 2019 Destination Number 5 Vampire Weekend in Spain. 9 a.m., noon, 3, 6, and 9 p.m. for your chance to win. Details at krock.com. All right, Allie, you are up with another look at what's happening here on this Tuesday.
Listen, I don't mean to revisit Nut Talk, but we have to just for this because Russ Leatherman messaged me and said, if you don't bring this up, I will. So Better Food Daily tweeted out yesterday, February 5th. Which nut butter do you choose? Peanut butter versus almond butter? Bean, would you like to tell us what your response to that tweet was?
I don't think I recall anything specific
I'll
about
read it.
That. It doesn't sound like something I would be.
I'll read it. Bean here. If I have to choose one nut butter, I'm going with Zac Efron's. Wait, what? Bean, was at 3:39 p.m. yesterday. No sleep, Bean, continued on into the afternoon.
What would you ever do with that much meat? Look, a boy can dream, can't he? That's all I'm saying.
I mean, what is wrong with you, sweet Zac?
What is right with sweet Zac?
All right, guys. We saw John Mayer during his surprise appearance Sunday night on the Grammys. He was up there with Alicia Keys. They did a cute little story about their Grammy that he won. He thought she should have won it, so they split it in half. Adorable story. Well, after that, John went home. He did an impromptu episode of his Instagram live show, which is called Current Mood, where it appeared he was sporting a fresh new haircut. Here's the thing. John saw some pictures of him from on stage at the Grammys and decided, I need to get a haircut right now on my way home from the Grammys.
Yeah.
He said, you might be aware that I've got my haircut since I last saw you in between the Grammys and now. I got my haircut because I looked back at a picture from the Grammys and I said, that won't do. I need another haircut, which makes this the most ballerous thing I've ever done. I use the Grammy Awards telecast as a mirror. That's fantastic. He saw himself and was like, nope, gotta get this cut.
First of all, he's hilarious on social media and always has been. But second of all, how does one find a place to get your haircut on a Sunday night at like 8:30?
I believe the haircut came to him.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah. That is baller.
Yeah.
You're John Mayer. You're like, I need my haircut. 8 o'clock.
I mean, I don't mean to give away free ideas here, but I'm almost a walking Shark Tank, because what about an Uber for haircuts?
Okay. Would you get it cut in the Uber?
No.
Like, they just come to you?
No. Like,
I don't understand. Why couldn't you just drive to your haircut? Why do you need a ride?
Well, I have... No. Hold on. Hold on, everyone. I mean the idea of Uber. Uh-huh. So they... Like a haircutter comes to your house.
Mm-hmm. I see what you're saying. Okay,
Order it, mm-hmm. and then they come to my house and cut my hair for me.
Oh, they do that. There's mobile nail salons. There's mobile haircutters, mobile
Why
facialists.
Are you ruining my business?
Okay. That's a great idea. No one's thought about it.
Thank you.
So it's like... It's the Heal app.
Yeah, Heal
for doctors, except it's for haircutters. Okay.
Yeah, that exists?
Absolutely.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
I spent all the money already.
Oh, that's too bad. The only reason I know that is because I am deathly allergic to the smell in nail salons. So I was looking for someone to come to me, and there's everything from, you know, hair, nails, facials, everything. Shut up, Bean. All right. Moving on. I think this is my favorite story out of the Grammys. God bless her. So Cardi B received a gorgeous floral arrangement in celebration of her huge night at Sunday's Grammy Awards. But she might be a little bit confused as to who sent it. In a since-deleted video on Instagram, which, by the way, her whole Instagram is now gone, she tweeted or said in the story, "Thank you, Tom Petty, for the flowers and the beautiful note."
Ooh.
"I left the room, but the flowers were very big. I want to say thank you very much. Such a beautiful note. Mother effers love me, bro." Here's where the confusion likely started, because on the card...
I feel like we have some bad news for Cardi B.
Yeah.
Tom Petty doesn't send flowers, so he sends chocolates, right?
Tom Petty passed away in October.
That and that? In one segment?
Yes, October of 2017.
What?
No, it's true. Here's where she might have been confused, because on the card were lyrics from a 1996 Tom Petty song, and it said, "You've got a big heart, so big it could crush this town." And then the quote was attributed to Tom Petty. So she might have just looked at it and thought, "Well, this dude Tom Petty sent me the nicest flowers." And let's be honest, not everyone knows who Tom Petty is. So,
I mean, that's possible, certainly.
Did she figure out who the flowers are from, or we don't know?
We don't know.
Look, there were a lot of people. We talked about this yesterday. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of people on social media who had no idea who Kacey Musgraves was.
Yeah.
They just are, you know, they're running in different circles. So it's possible she's heard of Tom Petty but doesn't know anything about him. Or mm-hmm.
She's definitely heard Free Fallin'.
Yeah, she would, maybe. But she may not keep track of who's alive and dead in the classic rock world.
And I love that Bean even equated Tom Petty with Kacey Musgraves. That's
she
loves her.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
She is a Tom Petty-esque person
not saying
to
that.
Bean, is what
I'm
she's
just saying.
Saying
that if you're in your lane when it comes to music that you listen to and pay attention to, it's very possible.
What he's saying is if the Traveling Wilburys started today, it would be Kacey Musgraves, Taylor Swift.
Uh-huh. Roy
Nope, Ariana Grande.
Okay.
Who else would be in your Traveling Wilburys? Zac Efron?
Sure.
I don't have a Traveling Wilburys. That wasn't my point. I'm just giving Cardi... I don't think Cardi B is dumb because she doesn't know that Tom Petty is dead. Right. That's what I'm saying. It's just not in her universe.
You're saying that like a lot of people would be like, "I don't know who Elvis is, but Brandi Carlile I do."
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah, I guess so.
Hmm. Interesting. I just think it's a funny story, you guys. Remember Nut Talk?
That was fun.
By the way, I found the app online. It's called Shortcut. I'm bummed.
All right. Did she delete her Instagram because, and I hope this isn't true, because there were so many people mad at her for winning the Grammy?
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
She wound up doing a video saying that it's just BS. Last year you were all mad because I didn't win for Bodak Yellow? Black? Bodak what?
Bodak Yellow.
Yeah, that one. And she was saying it's just BS. You were mad last year, but now this year I don't deserve it, blah, blah, blah. So she deleted it. Trust me, her Instagram will be back within a day.
I hope so. Don't let them silence you.
Don't let them silence you, Cardi B. Mm-hmm. We need more gems, like thinking flowers came from Tom Petty.
Yeah.
Some birthdays for you. Josh Brolin, Michael McDonald. Right? Remember what's happening?
Reason. That's by Michael McDonald.
Don't do that ever again.
Listening to Kevin and Bean.
That's nowhere near Michael McDonald.
I want you to move that bus.
Which doobie you be? None of them is what I'm saying. Awful. Good. Awful. Gucci Mane, Mike Posner, and Arsenio Hall.
All right. Hey, great to see you again. Welcome back, man.
It's a pleasure, man. Y'all keep rocking, okay?
Thank you. Arsenio Hall, folks. The people love him.
Less than 1 hour from right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show, the Naked Magicians will be here. Yes, you heard me right. They are magicians who perform naked. They are Australian and a lot of fun, so stick around for that coming up just after 9. First, though, Allie, something came out of Celebrity Big Brother that is actually worth talking about. I never thought I would say that because we mostly just ignore that horrible show.
Right.
But apparently they kind of made some news this week.
Yeah, Lindsay Lohan's mom, Dina, is on the show competing on season 2 of Celebrity Big Brother.
Is she a celebrity?
I'll give it to her.
She's related to one who used to be a celebrity, but does that make her a celebrity?
I mean, in the Celebrity Big Brother world, the bar is very low.
Okay.
So she's on, and she opened up to her housemates about her, well, unique relationship with a special someone. She said to her housemates, "I can't wait to tell you about this guy. I've been talking to him for 5 years, like every day, a lot. I feel like I know him." She then goes on to explain that she has yet to meet him because he lives in San Francisco, real far, and he's taking care of his mother. And by the way, you guys, he doesn't have a phone that can do FaceTiming to video chat. So for 5 years, she's been talking to this guy, and they've never seen each other face-to-face, let alone on a FaceTime face-to-face.
This sucks, too, because I've always considered Dina Lohan very smart, and this feels as if she's being bamboozled.
Yes. Yeah. So Allie, her housemates obviously are like, dude, you're being catfish. What are you doing?
100%.
And Tamar Braxton even offered to go with her to San Francisco to finally meet the man of her dreams. It's insane, you guys.
If you had told me this had been going on, not even for 5 months. If this had been going on for 5 weeks and they were talking every day and had not FaceTimed or Skyped, I would find it hard to believe.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, there are people on that catfish show who think they're talking to, like, Usher. You know what I mean? Like, these people are stupid and dumb, and they basically get what they ask for, really.
Right, but Dina Lohan has been around show business, and she's been around, I mean, she's 50-something years old. I feel like she should not be falling for this. And if I'm reading these quotes correctly, there's no doubt in her mind that this is a real relationship. Mm-hmm. And she even says that she will marry this guy.
Yep. Yeah. She said, "He's real. I swear it's crazy, but I'm going to marry him. It's really true. I talked to his ma." Okay. Or you talk to some lady or him
with putting
a voice on. It's just the fact that she hasn't even seen him on FaceTime is insane to me.
I mean, this is a woman who gave career advice to her daughter, too.
Very true.
Does it say anywhere whether he has a Facebook page? Like, does she even know what he looks like? Or is he just somebody who just doesn't use computers at all and that's his way out?
It doesn't say, because I do not watch Celebrity Big Brother to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah, I mean, that's good for you.
I would assume, wouldn't you assume she's at least seen a picture of him? Or a
After
picture of whoever
years?
He
yes.
decided to send. It's cuckoo. It's cuckoo, you guys.
I think this might be an area where we have some listeners with some experience.
Yeah.
Where you were involved in an internet relationship, and it went a long time before you either FaceTimed or met in person.
Yeah.
And I would be very interested to hear your story on how it turned out. And the number is 1-800-520-1067. And how much of what was said in those pre-meeting conversations turned out to be true.
Mm-hmm. But also, like, how long did you go? Yeah. This 5 years.
That's
like, I could imagine someone, like, staying on the hook for a little bit and just saying, like, oh, I believe it, you know, or maybe I don't believe it, but I'm willing to play this out. 5 years.
Yeah.
They've seen an Olympics together.
They've lived through two presidential administrations.
Yeah. This
is 5 years.
Long.
How long? I mean, Allie, you're single. If you had a friend in another city that was starting to turn into what you thought was, hey, we're kind of dating right now, even though we haven't, how long would you go before you made some sort of plans to get together?
I can answer that question because this happened with a gentleman that lived in the UK. And we started talking, then it got to us talking, texting every day, then calling every day. And then, give it 3 weeks tops before you're FaceTiming. And then if you're talking every day and you don't have plans to see each other within 3 months, you're never meeting that person.
No, yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
Granted, you got great conversation, great chats. You meet that person. There's no sexual chemistry. What a waste of 6 months. that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, 3 months sounds about on the outside of when you
get.
And by the way, I would say less time for somebody who lives in Los Angeles dating somebody who lives in San Francisco.
100%.
At least you had schedules to worry about him having a job and you having a job.
We're not even thinking about 2019, guys. I wouldn't let, when I was single, if I was talking to someone that I had never seen, I would not let 3 weeks go by without a FaceTime. That's it.
Yeah.
That's the end of the deal. After that, you're not talking to them anymore. You think something's wrong.
Right. Something's up.
Something's going on. They're homeless. They live in their car.
They're married.
They're married.
Right.
I don't know why homeless was first for me.
Not sure either.
No.
They're using a voice box and it's really a guy, your neighbor.
Yeah.
What?
It's really weird that Dina Lohan would bring this up in Celebrity Big Brother, although granted you have 24 hours a day to hang out with these people and nothing else to do.
Yeah, I mean, she thinks she's dating. I'm 5 years.
She thinks she'll marry him.
Yeah, she thinks this is her boyfriend.
Yeah.
But she had to know that there would be pushback on that, right? She had to know that most people were not going to look at that as normal or possibly.
She's convinced herself that it's normal, so why wouldn't others?
Although, honestly, I have seen interviews with Michael Lohan, and I would rather date a fake person. You know what I mean? Like, she doesn't have a pedigree that doesn't allow for catfishing.
Yeah.
All right, so this is what we're looking for. You guys met on the internet, and it developed into texts and phone calls, but you didn't FaceTime, or you didn't meet him or her. That's what we're looking for here. How long could something like this go on? I don't think we're going to find anybody 5 years in, like Dina Lohan here. But we want to hear your story. How long did it take before you guys finally saw each other? How long did it take before you guys finally met each other? And did it work out? Did everything that you heard happen to be true? That's what I'm interested in. 1-800-520-1067. Quick break. Your call's next on K-Rock. How long are you in a so-called relationship that is only email, text, or talking on the phone before you start to realize, hey, maybe I mean catfish. There's a reason I'm not seeing this person on FaceTime. There's a reason I'm not meeting this person in person. That's what we're talking about at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with Leanne? She's in HB. Sounds like she went through this not that long ago. Hey, Leanne, welcome to the Kevin Amin Show.
Hi. Yeah, it was actually like I'm 35, so it was when I was 18, and it was on AOL back in the day.
Technology has changed a lot. There were some impediments to seeing people back then.
Yeah, it was a little more difficult. No FaceTime.
Okay, so how long did you guys chat before you saw each other?
It was a few months, and I was 16. She was 18, and I wasn't out yet, and I was kind of trying to figure myself out. And
which I feel like AOL was perfect for. AOL.
It was.
Yes.
It was. And so she lived in England, and I lived here in California. And she finally made the trip out, and she was not the girl in the pictures.
No.
So obviously you were like, please get away, you're a liar. You were like, I don't want you in my life, right?
Oh, it was horrible. I was really, I thought all those things, but when you're 16, you're way nicer than you are when you're 35.
Yeah.
So
So you basically said thank you. You said thank you. It's fine. And then you just left?
No. They're still dating. Vegas with me.
You went, hold on. You went to
Vegas. I let her hit it.
Yes! Look, I know that our relationship is built on a lie, but go ahead and take some.
Oh, I love her.
Leanne, you're awesome. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. More calls, go to text.krock. What happens when you let Chip bring in her records?
Oh,
right?
Oh, wake up, everybody. Wake up.
Third Eye Blind on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. We are talking about Dina Lohan on Celebrity Big Brother. Believes very strongly that she is in love with a man that she has been talking to on the phone for 5 years. Yep. And that they are going to get married one day, yet they haven't met. Now, he lives all the way up in San Francisco, and she lives in L.A., so that's an hour flight.
Hard.
So it's understandable why in 5 years they haven't met.
Yeah.
We say catfishing, but she believes. So we're taking your calls of long-distance relationships or relationships where you guys didn't meet or see each other for a long time. And I think Monica is the call we've been waiting for. She's in L.A. She's on line 4. Monica, thank you for calling and holding on. What's going on?
Hi. Hi.
Hey. So
sorry,
what happened?
No, don't
be nervous.
We're all friends here.
You are among friends, absolutely. So how did you meet this young man or woman?
I met him on Facebook.
Okay.
We were part of a Dodger group. We're big Dodger fans. Mm-hmm. And he's a Dodger fan. And we started talking back in 2012 as friends, strictly as friends. And that lasted about a year. And then after that year, we started getting more, you know, flirtatious. And, you know, it became something more. We developed feelings for each other.
And he lived in Southern California just like you?
Yes, he did. He lived in Orange County and I lived in L.A. County.
Okay. Seems like a manageable distance to get together, but go on.
Yes. Well, the reason we didn't meet, I didn't really want to meet him right away was because I wasn't in a relationship, but I was currently living with the father of my kids.
Yeah, it was complicated.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a complicated. And he thought he was being catfished because he kept asking me. He wanted to meet me and he wanted to meet me. And I kept, avoiding it.
Right. Gotcha.
So finally, after 2 years, we decided that we were going to meet at a Dodger game. And we met. And we kept. And he was everything I ever wanted. I guess I was everything he ever wanted, too, because we're together now, and I'm currently 5 months pregnant with his baby.
Oh, yay!
But so he'll wait 2 years to meet you, but he won't marry you.
We're supposed to get married next year.
Okay,
Monica.
Wow.
Monica, you waited, 2 years to meet. How long did you wait to let him put it in? It was after the game.
No. It could have happened, but no. I waited about 5 more months.
Monica!
Wow, you are the most patient person in the world.
He is.
This is a really good relationship.
I kind of love it.
These two I ship.
Yeah, you guys are going to stay together. I feel good about it as well, Monica. Thank you very much for the call and sharing your story. We appreciate it. All right, let's try Stephen Long Beach, shall we say, line 1, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Stephen, you heard Monica's story. What's going on with you?
Well, back in 1996, AOL times, I heard that other caller mention AOL, and I thought, well, I'll go ahead and tell my story. Met a girl in a chat room. We hit it off just talking, and we ended up after three, we didn't meet. It took quite a while to meet. After about 3 years, we finally met. She lived on the East Coast in Connecticut, and it was great. But the kicker of it was is she ended up being a lot younger than what she had originally told me.
Uh-oh. Was Chris Hansen there?
How much younger? If she said she was 30 and she was 22, I'm still listening. But if it's something weirder than that, what happened?
Well, here's the deal. Okay, so when we first met, I was 26. She told me she was 23. When we first started talking, excuse me. Uh-huh. I was 26 in 96. She told me she was 23. We didn't meet until 1999. and I was then 29. And when we met, it actually came out that she had turned 18 6 months prior.
Damn, son. Where'd you find this?
Wow.
You were talking to a 15-year-old
girl.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh.
But, yeah. And, you know, back then, you know, you send a picture and you don't really... I mean, you know, we were talking in the 90s. There wasn't FaceTime, you know, and all that.
Yeah.
And, you know, you send a picture and they're kind of blurry, whatever. You know, she did her makeup up and everything. I mean, you know, it was believable. And, you know, she was very mature for her age and in our talking and our conversation.
It's not his fault.
It's not his fault, though, right?
No. I mean, she misrepresented herself.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But what happened, though, when you guys finally did meet? Somebody flew to somebody and you realized the age difference was so great. What happened?
Yeah, well, we had a great weekend, and, you know, I mean, we hit it off, and, well, okay, things still did happen. She was legal, okay, but we hit it off, and we had a great weekend, but we realized with the age difference, obviously, she wasn't moving here, and I wasn't going to be moving there, but I will tell you this, guys, she's married, got two kids now, and she and I are still the best of friends.
Okay,
that's great.
Happy ending.
We still talk, and she's a great girl. And while I was a little upset, I could never falter. I mean, for the age difference thing, it was still we're still friends. And I've been with my girlfriend now for 10 years. So
this is great. Maybe Dina Lohan's not doomed.
You never know.
Sounds like all these stories work out, you guys. I haven't looked, but I'm sure it's up at krock.com right now. The brand new Weezer video for their cover of "Take on Me." It's very aha inspired, and it has your kid from the Stranger Things playing a young Rivers Cuomo in it. Allie, Finn.
Finn
oh,
Wolfhard.
Sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I was going to say Dustin. That's an odd choice.
No, Finn. Very, okay. Very clever video. You want to check that out.
Love it.
Hey, Allie's got What's Happening, and then we give away some more tickets for Vampire Weekend in Spain, potentially. You definitely see them at the Hollywood Bowl, then you're qualified for the grand prize drawing for Wheels Up 2019 Destination Number 5. And then the Naked Magicians join us in studio. Finally, magic and nudity in the same show, right?
You've been saying it for years.
We'll talk to them on the way. First, here's Allie.
Well, this is basically a crash course on what not to do on social media. So Sunday night at the Grammys, Cardi B became the first solo female rapper to win a Grammy for her rap album. And BET decided to post this tweet. Meanwhile, Nicki Minaj is being dragged by her lace front. Oh, okay. Well, you're just pitting two women against each other in a tweet. Not great. Also not great is that, oh, Nicki Minaj was co-headlining your big event happening this summer. Womp womp, not anymore.
Why would you intentionally antagonize mm-hmm. the headliner
right.
of your big event this year?
And yeah. especially when it's Nicki Minaj, who right. has a reputation of she will clap back in a second
sure.
against
she
you.
She said clap back so naturally.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're like Wendy Williams.
Thank you so much. So she announced that she and her label, Young Money, would not be part of the BET experience later this summer, which of course she was going to co-headline with Cardi B. And she's pulling out of it the whole label. So Lil Wayne, who is also on Young Money, also pulling out of the concert as well. So,
oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. I don't know. Oh my God. I'm so, oh my God, oh my God.
She sounded pretty flustered.
Not a good situation at all. So BET obviously backtracking. And they said, unfortunately, the respect we have for Nicki was violated by this post and should never have been written. The post does not reflect how we feel about Nicki and further does not reflect our company values. And to her credit, Cardi B, who... she's been going back and forth with Nicki Minaj for quite a while. Before she deleted her Instagram, she had posted a video saying, not cool. Why would you even post that? So she was sticking up for Nicki Minaj in that case, too. So bad situation all around. Don't do that, BET.
Yeah, and press in general has been trying to pit them against each other for quite some time.
Right.
And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. So luckily this one didn't.
So now Summer Jam doesn't get to hear this. You guys remember the famous Anaconda?
What is
I mean,
with
that
you
was good
today.
Stuff, right?
What is with
Are you
today?
Saying that's a Nicki Minaj song?
That's Anaconda.
Oh, okay.
Why do some people tune out?
That's an excellent question.
Great question.
I'm about to tune out.
So if you love Crank Yankers and you've been missing it since it was on Comedy Central 2002 to 2005, then briefly brought back in 2007, worry no more. It is back. Comedy Central is bringing it back. 20 episodes have been ordered, you guys. The show is now going to feature puppets pranking people on phones, social media, eSport platforms, and other platforms. An original series co-creator, Jimmy Kimmel, is going to executive produce the new version, as well as fellow co-creators Adam Carolla and Daniel Kellison. And this will be the first project under his newly formed Kimmelot production banner.
Look, I love those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Not for me.
You were never a Crank Yankers fan.
Not well. It's,
you
it's
don't
not
like the, prank calls.
I don't like prank calls.
Why?
No, I don't like prank calls.
Why?
It just seems mean to lie to people.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Okay.
Why?
Because I don't know. It's just you're making somebody unsuspecting person just answer the phone, and then they become the butt of a joke. There.
Why?
Because it's just, I just feel like it's rude out of the blue to make fun of somebody through no fault of their own.
Why?
Because they haven't done anything. It's punching down is what it feels like to me.
Why?
I can't explain it to you any more than that. It's just, I don't like prank calls, all right?
All right.
Wow.
Well, here is a quote from Jimmy. He said, Crank Yankers has always been my favorite show to make. Nothing is more fun or makes me laugh harder than a great crank call, and I'm thrilled that Comedy Central asked us to do it again. At this time, I would like to ask all Americans to disable their caller ID. Thank you.
Definitely not going to fly in 2019 as Special Ed.
No, I'm sure that character has been retired.
I don't think he'll be back.
No. That was Eminem, right?
No, but Eminem did do one thing with Special Ed. I think it was Jim Florentine.
Okay, gotcha. But,
yay!
That How guy. Were you yeah. on Jerky Boys back in the day, Jensen?
Oh, I'm the perfect age. Yeah. I was a sizzle neck or whatever they called them. Yeah.
How about you, Allie?
Loved it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Not for me.
He's so let down.
No, it's just, look. It's,
I was like 11.
Right?
I should love it.
Yes.
It's just there are some forms of entertainment that are not for you. There are some people who just have no bandwidth whatsoever for, here's Mr. Bad Example, for the hee-haw television show. It doesn't mean that hee-haw's not great, but it's not the sense of humor that some people have.
No, and you're on the pulse, as you just showed by your example.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, good Lord. Well, more announcements made yesterday with Comedy Central. David Spade is going to lead a new series featuring his signature take on pop culture news of the day. It is going to air right after The Daily Show with Trevor Noah on Monday through Thursday nights, starting later this year. The yet-to-be-titled nightly series will include a rotating group of Spade's comedian and celebrity friends.
He is very funny, by
the
way.
Yeah.
And there are a lot
quick.
Of people who I would say I don't think they're going to make it as a late-night host. I can see David Spade being very good at this job.
This is basically a long version of Hollywood Minute.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was always funny.
Always funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's so quick and he's so witty and he has such funny pop culture takes. I am really interested in watching this.
Yeah, I'm in.
Kudos, David
As long as he
Spade.
Doesn't make any crank calls, I'm in.
I mean, you and your crank calls.
That was the bit that got him in trouble with Eddie Murphy, that ruined all of SNL and Eddie Murphy.
That's why Eddie Murphy would never come back.
Because he said in Hollywood Minute, he said there's a picture of Eddie Murphy up, and he said, look, guys, a falling star.
Wow, and that's what burned that bridge,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, and he had to call him and apologize. There's a whole story.
That's
it still
so
didn't work.
Funny.
Yeah. Still didn't
and
work.
I remember when they did their 40th anniversary SNL, Eddie Murphy did agree to appear but would not perform, be in any sketches.
And then he did
like
do something.
Yeah.
In the 50th, he came out and rambled. And didn't say anything of importance for like 5 minutes, and then the segment was over.
Thanks, David Spade.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a pretty funny joke.
It is pretty funny. It's a pretty funny joke.
Good Lord. Hey, guys. Let's talk about some birthdays. Josh Brolin. Michael McDonald. Again. Nope. I don't even know what you're doing.
My disappointment is immeasurable.
Amen.
Me too.
And my day is ruined.
Samesies. Ugh. Honestly, though, when you hear Michael McDonald any song, do you not think of the show What's Happening? When Raj made the phone call and said, which doobie you be? How do you not think that immediately?
I'm happy that we're keeping a current between Hee-Haw and what's happening.
Oh, what's happening is one of the greatest shows to ever grace our screen. Rest in peace, rerun, Shirley. I think that's it. Although, did you know that Dee, the little sister on it, she was a veterinarian up in Saugus, but she has moved back to Virginia, and she just had a huge surgery on her brain. She's recovering from brain surgery. Man, it's insane. I don't know what Raj is up to, though.
He's dead.
No, I don't think he is. No.
I thought he was dead.
No.
Stay on target.
I think Raj and hey, Dwayne, I think they're both alive.
We're a show for kids.
Yeah. All right.
Do we need all of that?
Yeah, that show was fantastic. Gucci Mane, Mike Posner, and Arsenio Hall.
Ooh. Arsenio Hall is here. Looking good.
I think we're going to like these guys, Allie. I think they're our kind of guys.
I already do.
Mike Tyler, Christopher Wayne, they are the Naked Magicians, you guys. NakedMagicians.com. Getting ready to start a Las Vegas residency starting tomorrow at Brad Garrett's Comedy Club at the MGM Grand Hotel and Casino. Let us welcome them to the studios here at K-Rock.
Hey!
And let's hear some of those sweet and sexy accents, boys.
G'day, guys.
Hey, good morning.
Down under, dingo, kangaroo.
Is that
there
enough
it
for
is.
So you guys have played a lot of shows in America over the years, but why are you kind of moving the act here permanently? Why do you want to live in Las Vegas?
We feel that the Naked Magicians, which is the world's naughtiest, funniest, sexiest magic show, is just like a perfect fit for the Strip. In history, there'd never been a show like ours, and we've taken it all around the world to about 250 cities, I think. But it was time to take it to Sin City. It's like the perfect Las Vegas show.
Yeah, the show is an orgy of magic, comedy, and nudity, and it's performed by a couple of Aussies. So what's there not to love about that?
Is the show predominantly for ladies and the guys who like guys, or is the humor directed in that direction, or is it just a general interest show that everybody can enjoy?
Yeah, look, as you'd expect with a couple of Aussies getting naked on stage, it is predominantly the female audience, probably 75%, would you say?
Yeah,
the girls,
a lot
night
of,
out,
a lot
kind of
devil horns that light up in the audience.
Penis draws and that.
Bachelorette parties.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the gay guys as well, which we love, groups of gay guys coming along too. And surprisingly, we get a lot of couples coming to our show when we've done shows here in America in the past. Hey?
I feel that our show's for like anyone, because it's not just, you know, there's a lot of male review shows in Las Vegas that are just like a girls' night out. But we like that our show is just for anyone with a cheeky side, because it is a comedy show, it's a magic show, and it's for anyone that's got a little bit of naughty in them, which I've discovered is most
people.
A lot of people.
Now, were you guys magicians before you decided to be naked magicians, or were you naked the whole time?
Yeah, we were
doing some interesting hand signals.
We were already together and naked, and they said, hey, what could we do while we're naked? Let's try magic.
It's like, how do we make this not weird? We were both full-time magicians. I was on a kids' TV series doing magic in
Chris
Australia.
Chris was actually the first Australian magician to have his own TV series.
Wow.
Which is pretty crazy,
Oh, stop it. No, don't stop it. I love it.
And I did kids' part? No, I didn't. I was doing high-end corporate events, that sort of thing, and we became best mates. We actually met at an event that I was performing at. He came up and said hi, and I did some magic for his table, and then
he was
after
hitting
my show,
on you. You know that now,
a little
right?
bit. He did ask me out for a coffee after that. So was that an ask out for a date? Was that what that was?
Well, I don't know if you've realised, but it's been like 7 years, and we're still just friends.
Yeah, it's playing the long game. It's playing the long game.
You don't know if I keep going on dates with girls.
But was it like you walked up to him and you're like, I'm the other great-looking magician? Like, you must have heard of each other. Well, I mean, you're running a review show in Vegas where you get naked. I mean, you're clearly better looking than Penn and Teller.
Well, we're like show and teller, I guess.
Set you up for that.
We both sort of had to up it a bit, like, because we were okay. Like, I don't want to stand here and go, we're the best looking guys.
We can let him say that, though. Allie, what do you think?
Yeah. We still got our clothes on, too. And your bodies are... Oh. They're taking it off,
Chris, hello, are we allowed to do that?
Jackets,
too.
Yeah, they're taking off the jackets.
We started exercising and getting into shape and really turning it up. So okay. I think sort of all that stuff came afterwards, didn't it? Making sure we look good. Just by the way, for anyone listening, we're taking our clothes off right
shirts
now.
Off. Yeah,
that's happening.
Shirts off.
Great.
All right,
here's
a, just so you know, also Louis Anderson did the same thing when he came in last month. So
here's a potentially
in, by the way.
Yeah, we have had Lou. That's love Lou. So here's, cool. Here's a potentially dumb question, but is it a lot of magic, especially close-up magic, sleight of hand stuff, involves being able to hide something in your sleeve or something like that? I mean, you're kind of taking away a magician's safety valve, I guess.
They're able to hide things in different areas than naked.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, we actually have a saying in the show that good magicians don't need sleeves and great magicians don't need pants. So we prove that every night on stage. But look, you know, the nudity itself does give that added misdirection. People are trying to get a sneaky peek of our magic wands, and that allows us to get away with a little bit more sleight of hand than we maybe otherwise could. So,
and both you guys made your chest hair disappear. Which is
that cool. Too. I had to work a bit harder than Chris. He's just naturally hairy.
Yeah, this is my natural. Oh, actually, I got some little sprouts there, but I'm just not a hairy guy. No.
Mike, yeah. Is that a 12 pack? What's going on with you?
Yeah,
I mean,
it's
the bastard took my 6 pack and added it to his.
It doesn't even look real. I feel like that's CGI'd somehow. I don't know.
You want to check it's real? Or we can do it after it.
Okay.
We're off air.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like tonight. Yeah. Hey, what kinds of magic tricks do you do? There are so many different. You do card tricks, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have a card trick in the show, but you know, we don't do that sort of close-up sleight of hand stuff that we, you know, had spent years doing in our own careers. Mm-hmm. You know, everything's sort of themed around naughty topics. Maybe the celebrity on a bang. We have an escape from straitjackets, but you know, one of us escaped from a glammed up like gay jacket, if you will. Mm-hmm. We have a knife throw. There's plenty of amazing magic in the show.
I think every trick in the show, because it is a stage show when you see the Naked Magicians, is and it's kind of cool. We get like the Brad Garrett Theatre is a 300-seat, beautiful, intimate space.
When you think of naked, you think of Brad Garrett.
Oh, for years.
That's exactly right. And, well, he thinks of us now, which is kind of cool when he hears the word naked. We like that.
The residency starts tomorrow. How long is it scheduled to go for?
It's just ongoing at MGM. Yeah,
just
Grand.
Ongoing. Till further notice.
Yeah, we have like 3 months of shows already on sale, and then we'll continue that as we go.
So. Tuesday's off.
All right. Yeah. Can you do something for us here today?
Well, that's funny you'd ask because we literally got told we wouldn't be doing any tricks during the interview.
We can do something.
Come prepared, thank God.
You're not required to, honestly.
No, let's do it. I do have a deck of cards in my pocket, so we'll make something up on the fly. Here we go. So, Jensen, maybe you can help me out here. You can check these are different. We have a deck of cards for anyone listening here. They're all different, yes?
Legit.
I'm going to get you to choose one out. Don't let me influence you, though.
Sure.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Make sure it's a random selection there. It's going to start like a normal card trick. Finish very, very differently, though. Just grab one for us. And I'm going to get you to sign right across the front of your card. Not the red back. You want to sign it on the face. Mm-hmm. But rather than signing with your name, we want you to sign it with your porn star name, yeah? Mm. So first pet and first street name, yeah? It makes your porn star name.
First so pet. Now, are we Facebook Living right now, Ali? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, it's Facebook Live.
Facebook Live, so you want to see on the Kevin and Bean page.
As an example, first pet, first street. Mine would be Boofy McBain. Mm-hmm. What would your porn star name be?
It would be Heidi Santiago.
That's where I know you from.
Right?
Yeah,
thank you.
Actually badass.
Yeah, a lot of butt stuff.
So, Jensen, you signed the card there.
Sorry, what?
Excellent. Pop it back in there for us. Just say stop. Excellent. Pop it back on there. Perfect, perfect. We'll give it a little bit of a mix in here, just like this. Now, here's the kind of cool part. Whenever you do magic, you should always come prepared, yeah?
Especially in a show like ours, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you hold that, I've actually got something right here inside my wall, inside the zip compartment right here is a... can you guys see what that is?
Oh, a condom, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's a condom wrapper, because inside, rather than it being a condom, inside there, I'm just going to carefully tear that open. Can you guys see what that is?
No way.
Stop. Inside the condom is a folded up, oh my God, that's kind of
great. Check it out.
Is a folded up.
Unbelievable.
Oh, I'm going to drop it. Wait.
Oh, okay.
Wait, no, wait. I watch it.
It's a little slippery.
He was fine.
And that's
fine.
Me. That's my journey. Can you unfold that, please? And show everyone, yes or no, is that your signed card?
That's right. That's my porn name, Brad Garrett. That's what I wrote. That's unbelievable.
I want to see if I could do a Brad Garrett. I want you to clean the pool. Is that
his most famous line.
That was in a condom in your wallet.
By the way, that was a great trick.
That was a great trick.
We just made that up. Good thing you carry around condoms everywhere. Yeah.
And remember, that's the first trick they've ever done. That's what's so amazing about that. Wow, you guys.
Yeah.
Very impressive. Oof. Naked Magicians, Las Vegas residency now and forever. Starting tomorrow at Brad Garrett's Comedy Club, MGM Grand Hotel and Casino. You can go to nakedmagicians.com or mgmgrand.com for tickets and more. 21 and up, please.
Yeah.
And you just flew out here today just to do a bunch of press and let people know in Southern California they need to head to Las Vegas.
It's our last day of freedom before we're married to MGM Grand doing shows every single night. So we're out here in LA doing press all day.
Wonderful.
And then we fly back tonight and get ready for game day tomorrow.
Amazing.
I'm telling you, it's a holiday weekend. This weekend coming up, you guys. This one might be one to plan ahead for.
It's time for Valentine's Day as well.
No, it's Valentine's A, I realize.
Valentine's
it's
a?
Valentine's A, and then we bring the D.
Oh, goodness.
I don't hate it.
Well,
that's it. On that note, ladies and gentlemen, the Naked Magicians.
Hey!
By the way, we neglected to congratulate Melissa Miles from Huntington Beach. She won her tickets to Vampire Weekend at the Hollywood Bowl and now qualifies for a trip to see them at Spain's Mad Cool Festival, which is going on in Madrid. This is all part of the K-Rock Wheels Up 2019 Destination Number 3. It happens multiple times here on K-Rock every day this week. Noon, 3 p.m., 6 p.m., and 9 p.m. are your next chances to get in on that. All right, Allie, one final look at what's happening.
So we've been hearing a lot about a possible Coming to America sequel for a while now. There's rumored plot details saying maybe it's going to follow the next generation of Prince Akeem. A new writer since 2017, Kenya Barris. And now it looks like we finally have a release date to look forward to. It was announced yesterday. The day is August 7th.
And now, a breaking news bulletin.
Thank you. The day is August 7th.
And now, a breaking news bulletin.
The day is August 7th.
We interrupt this program to bring you breaking news.
August 7th.
Live, local, late breaking.
The day is August 7th.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special news bulletin.
Coming to you on August 7th, 2020.
What they do.
Yeah. You guys, how fun. Are you so excited?
I'm nervous.
Aw.
It's one of my favorite movies.
Mm-hmm. I think I am. It's been so long since I've seen the original. I'm not as excited as I should be.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also nervous that Eddie Murphy doesn't seem to want to be funny anymore.
I think he wants to be funny on his terms.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want people telling him, oh, you need to go back out. You need to go back out on the road, blah, blah, blah. I think he wants to do things when he wants to do it. So if Eddie Murphy wants to do this, it's going to be incredible.
Okay.
He's also been attached to Beverly Hills Cop, you know, a bunch mm-hmm. of things, and they don't come together. So I'm happy to hear there's a release date. But
yeah.
He obviously has been, you know, a bit of a recluse the last few years.
Does he just have so much money he doesn't need to do anything ever?
Yeah. I've heard he has like a compound and just sits around and just lives life, baby.
With his 10 children?
Yeah.
The movie is supposed to be called Coming to the Number 2 America. Huh? Clever. Get it? It's the number 2 and it's the sequel. So, all right. Listen, just reporting here, you guys. Some Oscar news. In a break with tradition, four categories of Oscars are going to be presented during commercial breaks. Those categories are cinematography, film editing, live action short, and makeup and hairstyling. The winning speeches will air later in the broadcast, and full presentations will stream live on Oscar.com. Here's the thing. In future years, they're going to kind of have a rotating basis essentially of what ones are not going to be on the telecast.
So like next year that'll be televised. Like, but
yeah.
That sucks for the people who won the last year.
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you win in a televised year?
Right.
Yeah.
Ugh.
It's not good.
I won best editing. Oh, really? I didn't see you on the
it was
the
in
year
2019.
We weren't on. We all think it's horrible, except for Bean, who I believe said, I don't care about your crap.
Yeah, hates editors.
He might have said craft, but
I
heard
that.
Crap.
I don't think I said any of that. I mm-hmm. just said, and this is the constant battle that you're always going to have between honoring the industry that makes the movies and do very important work. Every one of those careers that you mentioned is mm-hmm. essential to make a film, but also trying to balance that with making it a watchable television show. And I see what they're trying to do. I'm on this ZERP is what I'm on. They're trying to make it not the most boring. The middle 2 hours of the Oscars are always so boring because it's nothing but one of those awards that you don't care about after another. I feel like an asshole. Okay.
You're really struggling with this.
I can speak for myself on this one.
I mean, this is really not going your
way. Jensen's putting a lot of words in my mouth with that button right there.
I enjoy it so much.
But you know what I'm saying? I mean, look, you can't make a movie without a cinematographer. You can't. I get that. But we've never heard of you, and we don't want to see you on the TV for 4 minutes reading a list of names of people we don't know. What would you ever do with that much meat? Okay, you're not helping, Jensen. Do you want extra sausage? It's just boring is all I'm saying.
I think you're wrong. But
You look forward to those, do you? You look forward editing, to the best cinematographer?
I do look forward to best cinematographer.
I look forward to best editing because, to me, good editing will make or break a film. You can have the best movie in the world. You have an editor that doesn't know what he's doing. He has now made that, or she has now made that, the worst film. Editing is so important.
That's how I knew who Thelma Schoonmaker was, the Martin Scorsese editor. And when I went to school, I looked up to her.
Well, it's not like they don't still get an Oscar, you guys. They do.
Yeah, but they don't. They aren't honored in the same way.
Well, they're not on my TV either, so it's a win-win.
Wow, Bean hates editors and cinematographers. I don't know why. It's really weird.
His parents were killed by an editor and a cinematographer.
It was raining, and then he had to go home to his butler. I love Bean's origin story. You guys, season 14 of America's Got Talent. What? America? Of America's Got Talent has some changes coming.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is this something we're going to need to discuss with Caleb Williamson tomorrow
morning? Absolutely. Okay. Beat it, Heidi Klum. Beat it, Mel B.
Whoa.
They are out.
Whoa.
In Gabrielle Union and Julianne Hough.
And who? And who's the third?
Simon.
Oh, he's
and
the
Howie
worst.
Mandel, right?
So oh, yeah. Four. I guess how he sees. But yeah. Simon, I feel like he's just like a chess player and moves people around. He thinks he is by far the biggest star, which at one point he was. But I don't think people tune in for Simon in 2019, do they?
I don't think so either.
Yeah. No, I don't know. So you're saying beat it, Simon, and keep Heidi Klum or Mel B?
I like both of them.
Yeah,
I think they're both very good on that show.
Yeah, agreed.
And Terry Crews returning as host. Which I didn't even know he was.
Wait, yeah. I thought Tyra Banks was.
That's
the host.
What I thought.
No, Terry's been doing it now. I think this might be his first. This might be his first.
Oh,
I did see a trailer where he's wearing a leather yellow tuxedo jacket.
Okay,
and I thought to myself, he's made for this job.
I think Tyra has been hosting it the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, so I think
it sounds like you're saying that Terry is now the new host.
I think this is his first season coming up.
Oh, and says will return as host. Here's the thing. I don't watch this crap.
Dave says that Terry was the host for the America's Got Talent Championship.
Got it.
Which was the season they just did where they brought back a bunch of previous winners.
No one makes sense.
What? It's very important. Sorry. And guys, Katy Perry, what's happening? So she's a fashion designer as well as being a pop star. First it was Prada, then Gucci. Now Katy Perry is in hot water for selling shoes that evoke racist blackface imagery. The shoes in question feature eyes and big red lips that some people are saying resembles minstrel makeup.
On a black shoe.
On a black shoe. Also on a nude mule as well. But major retailers like Dillard's and Walmart have already decided to pull the offending styles. Who is in charge in these companies that doesn't say, hey, do you think that kind of looks like blackface?
You know what,
like,
though?
There's no one?
It does. It does. But also, someone should have said it's ugly. It is an ugly shoe. Beyond even the racist tone, which it kind of has. But beyond that, it's not worth it because it's a terrible shoe.
I mean,
I don't know that anybody would have thought of blackface if it hadn't been so much in the news right now.
It's just a bad shoe. It's not good.
It's an ugly shoe. That's what we're...
I'm gonna just keep it a bean.
Keep it a bean indeed. You guys, let's get out of here, right?
Okay.
I mean, it's been a long day. We nut talk. The two naked dudes with more nut talk. You know what I'm saying? A lot has happened today. You want to know what you should do? Listen to the podcast. He'll get to that in a minute. But first, some birthdays. Josh Brolin.
You're really running it.
Michael McDonald.
The Simon Cowell of our show.
Aaron Aronofsky. Gucci Mane. Mike Posner. And Arsenio Hall.
Allie, why don't you just tell people why they should listen to the podcast? It sounds like had a good start going.
There's a lot of things that you might miss, but a lot of people don't know. We basically have the whole show on a podcast. Just get it wherever your podcasts are gotten from.
Or krock.com.
Or krock.com.
/KB Podcast.
And Honda in no commercial
striker.
No,
I'll take care of that. I got that. That's fine.
Okay.
Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show, speaking of our friend Taylor Williamson, he will be here. He's going to be devastated that Heidi is not on his TV anymore because they're very close, as you know. Mm-hmm. Jensen, you're debuting a new feature tomorrow about fast food?
That's right. I am very much into fast food news. If any franchise or any of your favorite spots announce something, I write it down and I let you in on the secret.
Ooh. Okay. Somebody, I will not name him or her, is having a problem here in the building that he or she is constantly being bombarded with requests to buy Girl Scout cookies. How do you let down a coworker or friend or neighbor who's trying to get you to pony up some cash for Girl Scout cookies? We'll discuss because it is that time of year again. Also on the program tomorrow, it's your last day before Valentine's Day. And that means there are some things that we are going to urge you to avoid to buy. We have heard stories over the years of, I mean, maybe your wife doesn't need a Roomba. Or maybe she does, but maybe it's not the most romantic gift in the world for February 14th.
Or like a gift certificate for a free makeover.
Right. Right. A gym membership. We understand your intention is good, but it doesn't say sexy time.
No.
So we'll talk about that on the program tomorrow. And this is going to be a fascinating interview, and we will take it very seriously. I know we don't very often. A woman is going to come on the program. Nope. A woman is going to come on the program tomorrow who was very nearly one of serial killer Ted Bundy's victims, but she was able to get away.
Yeah, way to play that, Jensen.
Well, you know,
she escaped.
I like the announcement of Ted Bundy's big right now.
On your drive home today, have a great day. We'll